And welcome into a new episode of American Ag Today, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Thanks for joining us here today. Well, we spent time, of course, last week at Commodity Classic in Houston, Texas. We're going to be sharing updates from Commodity Classic here over the next few episodes. But first, we want to get an update on weather as we enter the month of March. Joining us now for a conversation, Eric Snodgrass, Principal Atmospheric Scientist at Nutrient Ag Solutions. Eric, thanks for being with us. I know heading out of the month of February, we've seen a lot of wild weather. Of course, the wildfires in Texas and Oklahoma and Nebraska have just been devastating. Our thoughts and prayers with folks in those locations. Where are we sitting as far as the weather is concerned here, moving out of the month of February and into March? Give us a little recap of where we've been here over the last few weeks.
Yeah, so as we came out of February, we, of course, watched some pretty large wildfires in Texas, and we also had some in Nebraska. And that's not to ignore others around the country, but we know that some of the wildfires in Texas burned well in excess of 1 million acres. And I put this in the context of late last week for a group, and I said, you know, all of last year, for the whole of the United States, we only burned about 2.6 million acres. So to already see 1 million+ acres burning, a lot of folks I know down there in Commodity Classic, of course, could see and understand that that was coming through. And it was a pretty nasty go of it. But you ask about February, and honestly, let's look at the whole of winter, right? When you look at the whole of winter, you're going to see most of the country, except for parts of North Carolina, a section of Iowa, the upper Midwest and northern plains, and the Southwest, one little corner of the Southwest, every other place was wetter than average. But February, which was the end of it, is really the key. You know, I was talking about this morning. When it comes to agriculture, it's we need to ask the atmosphere, what did you do for me lately? Like, who was that song? Mm-hmm. Who wrote that back in the 80s? Janet Jackson, right?
Yes.
It's like Paula Abdul, no, Janet. So what have you done for me lately? So the reason I say this is because the hydrologic cycle's fast. Mm-hmm. So what happened? Well, February went over really dry for a lot of places in the Midwest, Mid-South, parts of the Southeast, parts of the Mid-Atlantic. We are way behind on snow across the north, but we just got a bunch of snow there recently, like the last couple of days, and the Canadian prairies got fresh snow on it. And the reality of it is that we need to see one major thing change that didn't get fully resolved this winter, and that is our subsurface soil moisture. So here it is in a nutshell. We made improvements over last fall's drought. Remember, we've had two falls in a row of pretty epic drought. We made some improvements, but there is still an underlying problem that I'm going to be concerned about until I'm not concerned about it anymore, which I don't know when that's going to be, and that is our subsurface soil moisture throughout the Midwest, primary corn and soybean belt. Now, the West just got 10 feet of snow in the Sierra Nevada. They're not worried about water right now, but we are, given the risk in this area. So long story short, that really, really mild winter may be able to help us in this regard, and this is why. So Midwest, upper Midwest, Great Lakes states, warmest winter on record. Today, the soil temperature at 50 degrees is as far north as Minnesota, southern Wisconsin, lower Michigan, which means any additional moisture coming in the near term gets to be kept. It's going to go into the soil and not have to go through a barrier of ice, which means it runs off. So that's my recap for where we've been and where we are, and now it's where we're going.
Well, where exactly are we going? And thinking about, you know, immediately this week ahead, this next 7 to 10 days, are we going to be able to get some meaningful precipitation in some of those areas where that soil temperature is warmed up enough, Eric?
Yeah, maybe we'll start off with who isn't. And who isn't is going to be the Western Plains, the Northern Plains, the Canadian Prairie. Now, thankfully, they got some moisture recently, and there's a little bit coming through, but overall, what's coming in the next 10 days in those areas isn't much. So what about the central Corn Belt, the eastern Corn Belt, the southeast, the East Coast? We expect a system on the 7th, 8th, and 9th of this week to just slowly traverse the southern tier of the U.S., get to the Ohio Valley, roll up the East Coast. That's going to be the first one. It may even produce a nor'easter along the East Coast. There's a possibility of that. But the overall impact of that one system, because it's so much slower, is better chances of moisture sticking around. So I'm kind of excited to see this one, but after that, we kind of lose the stronger signal for more repeated systems just coming in every 4 to 5 days. It's going to slow down a little bit for us. We're also going to lose this really, really mild signal. Now, I didn't say cold, but I just said, you know, being 30 degrees warmer than normal, I mean, we're gonna peel that back a little bit, which is overall not a bad thing, because some parts of the South, Southeast, Delta, Mid-South, and even parts of the Midwest are, when you compare to average, looking like 25 to 30 days ahead of normal on spring heat accumulation. And we've got places that have already picked up an extra 150 GDDs compared to average since the beginning of February in the Mid-South, getting into parts of the Midwest. So these things just have us worried. Are we going to get clobbered with cold air at the end of March? I'll be honest, I cannot take away that risk until I see the Pacific jet behavior go back to where it was. I want it to go back so that we just keep the warmer conditions around and we can go forward. But right now, it looks like the end of March might be a little cooler than average.
Well, Eric, let's talk South America here real quick as well. And watching Brazil and Argentina and their growing season continue, sounds like we've been seeing a few systems work through here. Talk about the latest you're seeing down there.
Yeah, so South America, let's talk about who's wet and who's dry. Argentina over the weekend, northern Argentina, huge storms. Buenos Aires been drier for a while. Coming to southern Brazil, okay on rains. Northeastern Brazil, okay on rains. Center west has been drier. Mato Grosso, Mato Grosso do Sul. This is where we just planted our safrinha crop, right? Now, the near-term forecast continues to keep the center west drier. Keeps those areas I just mentioned to you wetter. Does that break down? The newest model runs last week, let me rephrase that. Last week's model runs suggested that most of March is dry for the center west. That would have been a bad signal for safrinha corn. Today's model runs tried to bring in a little bit more moisture, still drier than average, but tried to bring in a little bit more. If anything reverts back to where we were, so this is important for North America and South America, the center west area has a dry setup going to the end of the monsoon, which typically ends in late April. And that means we could see a major impact on the safrinha crop. That is going to be top of mind for me going into our planting season here.
I know too, Eric, you know, thinking about keeping an eye on South America, it feels like overall net, even with some of those drier patches and whatnot, they've had a pretty good season so far down there, haven't they?
Well, January covered a lot of the sins of October, November, and December. And that's what helped that soybean crop kind of stop the losses and start to rebuild. And honestly, a little bit of drier weather during the safrinha planting, it's not overly concerning. They still get a little bit of rain, but given the way at which their soils drain, they need more than what they've got. It's just now the risk going forward. Same thing for us, right? We get a crop in the ground. It's like, good, good, good. An open window. We're like, okay, bring the rain back. And if they don't get it, you know, this safrinha corn's grown in a tight window. So they've got to have good moisture for the next, call it 60 days. And if they don't, they're going to run the risk of that crop being, you know, below what they expect.
Well, that's Eric Snodgrass with Nutrien Ag Solutions here on American Ag Today. I'm Jesse Allen reporting.